Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the Happy New Year edition of the Grilling Guys. We're glad you're tuning in. Hope you're going to wrap up this 2017 with a big old barbecue in your backyard, or at least a little bit of smoking to feed your friends for the New Year's Eve party. But I'm Jop. Barbecue Bob is out, and I've got Chaz Thompson from Schmoe's Brewery joining me in the studio, sitting in the co-pilot seat. Chaz, good to hear your baritone voice. What's going on, man?
Man, I think we ought to talk about some pulled pork.
All right, we can do that.
Because pulled pork is like the number one go-to that everybody starts in their smoker. It's reasonably priced. You can go buy your big old clod of pork, raw pork. Meijer had these pieces on sale the other day, $1 a pound.
Right.
And it's not pretty when you get it. But the idea is that you're going to slow cook it.
Right.
And then when you're done, you're going to shred it up so that you can put it on sandwiches, put it on top of a baked potato, whatever you want to do with it. There's a lot of versatility with
it. And we're going to touch on that. But before we do, we get a lot of questions at the show about how to do this. A guy gets or a gal gets a smoker for the first time, and everybody's initial thing is, well, I want to do either jalapeno poppers or pulled pork, right? That's what a smoker is supposed to do. So I don't know where you're listening, but where we are, it's been damn cold these last few weeks. And
it was -4 this morning.
Yeah, exactly. So what I wanted to talk about was the equipment that and what to do with it before you start to cook on it, okay? First and foremost, I would never recommend cooking in your garage, okay? It's just going to get smoky in there. There's too many things that are flammable. I mean, you can do it if you want. Maybe you can pull it into the edge of the garage and leave the door open. But at the end of the day, you're going to be out in the cold weather smoking. Smoking is a long, slow process. This isn't like you got to stand there and watch it. But when we've got this kind of cold, I know that I have, you mentioned a green egg in the first segment. That's a ceramic grill. I've got steel grills as well. A lot of smokers are made out of a metal, whether it's, you know, steel or what it may be. That stuff holds the cold, right? Especially the steel. So it's going to take you longer than it normally would.
And another thing to consider is the wind.
Yeah, that's a big one.
If you're going to be outside, you want to take either maybe some big cardboard, or if you're going to use something else, just make sure it's far enough away that you're not going to catch it on fire.
Right.
And use that to block the wind. You only probably have to block from two directions, you know, your dominant wind direction that day.
Yep.
And that's going to help retain a lot of heat. And it's going to help you get your grill hot.
Right.
And get that smoker up to temperature to where it's ready to put the meat in.
Right. So there's a tip inside the tip right there is that you want your smoker to be ready before you put the meat on it. Don't put your meat on it when it's cold and try to bring it up to temperature. I'm going to run my smoker if I can get the big iron one is really tough this year. It's a charcoal smoker this time of year. It's tough to get it much above 250. I mean, I got that fire red hot and I damper that thing down to start smoking. And boy, the wind especially just draws the heat away from that thing. But you got to get your smoker up to temperature before you put your meat in there, right? And that temperature typically 250 to 275 in a summer day, right? So get it in that same range, okay? So, and it's going to take a while. Electric might come up a little quicker, but a charcoal smoker is going to be a while.
I would actually go up a little bit higher because you got to realize you're going to pull that lid off.
Yeah, you are. You're right. Good point.
And put that meat in. And another tip is get the meat up to room temperature.
Right.
Don't put something straight out of the refrigerator in there. You're going to rub this thing. We're going to talk about that in a bit. Right. But that's going to put a protective coating on it to where it can set out on the counter and get up to that 70 degrees that you have the house.
Right.
So that it's ready to go out to the smoker. And when you lift the lid off, you're going to lose a little bit of temperature. So my goal would be maybe get up to as high as 300. And then when I put the meat in, to have it come around really quickly, a balance back to 250.
Yep. And that's a great point. I missed that because that cold 38-degree chunk of meat, you're going to pick up another couple hours to try to cook that You don't have to worry about bacteria on the countertop. It's not going to be out there that long. You're going to take it above 140. We're going to cook this thing to about 190 degrees.
And your rub's going to have salt in it anyway.
Yeah, so not anything to worry about. So let's talk about that rub. What do you like to do with a pork butt? When you take it out of the package, there's a fat cap on it, and that's on one side, and the other three sides of it are the muscle meat, right?
Yeah, the protein side, I'm going to put my rub on that. I'm going to put on a latex glove or a nylon glove or whatever, and I'm going to rub that in. I've got some really beautiful silicone ones I got to show you.
Okay.
They're washable. You wash your hands with them. It's great.
Oh, nice.
But I'm going to rub that, really massage that rub in. And then I'm going to flip it over to the fat cap site, and I'm going to take a knife, and I'm going to score that rather deep so that I can rub into that and get it to retain some more, so that as that kind of, you know, cooks down and renders down and soaks down through the meat, that it's going to just bring all that spice flavor with it and get my flavor all the way through, because the stuff that I put on the bottom ain't going up.
That's right. That's right. And I usually cook my pork butts fat side down. That's just my personal preference. It renders the grease better. You don't eat that anyway. The seasoning is where the flavor is. But I agree with you, but that fat cap still on there, the meat that's right underneath that you're scoring gets the flavor down in there as well. So as far as seasonings go, Chaz, to me, the personal preference is what prevails here, is that barbecue, there's hundreds and hundreds of good barbecue seasonings on the market. They're $5 a bottle. Buy a bottle and try it.
I got two in my stocking for Christmas. Two bottles of that. Mom went to Cabela's. This one and this one.
Right.
She didn't know what she's picking. I'm going to use them.
Sure.
They're going to be new, interesting flavors. If right. I'm making one up at home. And we've done this in other shows, and you can search on grillingguys.com and find where we have these posted. But basically, you're looking at a salt, brown sugar, and some spices.
Right.
And how you blend that up, how you create that, is going to make it your own.
And keep in mind that these spices in this rub, if you will, is on the top of the meat. And you're looking at a piece of meat that is dense. I mean, it's 5 inches thick and 8 inches square, right? And
buying the little ones.
Right, yeah, exactly. And you put this thing on there, and the seasoning's on the top. When you pull it and shred it, you're going to mix the bark and the seasoning in. So let's talk about bark. What is that?
Bark is the crust. It's going to be that char on the outside. A lot of guys, they're dying for it, and they're going to pick it off and nibble on it on their own.
Because where all the flavor is, because all the seasoning is there, right?
It's huge, yeah. I know that when I grill a hog, and we're grilling on one of those flat-top roasters,
right?
They always want me to scrape some bark for them.
Sure.
You know, there's those people that are always after that. But when you're pulling the pork, if you integrate that, break that up really good with whether you're using claws or two big forks, or like with me with my gun
yeah.
that I use, the drill with the bit on it
right.
to spin that pork, it's going to integrate that in. And any of the cooked stuff that has absorbed the flavor is going to mix and meld in there.
Right.
Now, you mentioned that we aren't going to eat the fat. We're going to trim some of that off, but not all of it.
Right.
And one of the reasons I cook fat up is because I want some of that to melt down through and okay. really keep my pulled pork moist.
Right. Yep. And so, again, it's a personal preference. The point we're making is there's no really right or wrong way to do this. The only thing is make sure that you get the internal temperature between 190 and 200, because there's and this will frustrate you if this is your first time. You'll get that pork on there. Again, Chaz mentioned a good remote thermometer. This time of year is great to use, but you'll get that pork on there and it'll come up to 140 and then it hits what they call the stall. And it's a phenomena that happens, and the meat will stay at 140 degrees for maybe a couple hours before it breaks through that stall. It'll come right up to it and then it hits it.
Fortunately, you have beer and football to get you through that.
There you are. Exactly. And then once it breaks through, it'll steadily increase until it gets to the temperature that you need it. But we didn't get to any of the tasty ideas. We'll cover those in the next segment. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back. Got a lover.
Said I'll be sure.